So welcome to another Engage for Success radio show recorded using Blab. We're having a bit of trouble with the microphone, and I think there's an echo as well now. So I'm just holding this close to my mouth in the hope that it works and it's being picked up. But we'll see how we get on anyway. So I'm Jo Dodds, your host for today. I'm a social HR consultant working with the Engage for Success movement, leading on digital and social media. And the movement is an inclusive movement committed to the idea that there's a better way to work by releasing more of the capability and potential of people at work. We spread the word about employee engagement and shine the light on good practice. And we're widely supported across the UK, involving the public, private and third sectors. If you go to our website, engageforsuccess.org, you can use the orange envelope. It's a new website with an orange envelope, not an orange circle, in the top right-hand corner to get onto our mailing list. If you tweet, then use our hashtag, which is #E4S. And please do come and join in our LinkedIn groups. And we also have a Yammer group. If you go to engageforsuccess.org/Yammer, you can ask for an invite into that. And if you enjoy our shows, please take the time to go to our iTunes profile and give us a rating. Today I'm interviewing, and I didn't think to check how I say your name, so I'm hoping I get it right. I'm interviewing Professor Vlatka Hlupík, who's author of The Management Shift, How to Harness the Power of People and Transform Your Organization for Sustainable Success. And she was voted one of the HR Most Influential Thinkers of 2015. As an international thought leader and management consultant, Vlatka has worked with organizations globally to help them become more engaging, innovative and profitable. And then in this show, she'll share her academic insights combined with practical experience related to the why, the what and the how of the management shift. So welcome, Vlatka. Have I pronounced your name right?
Yes, you have. Thank you very much for inviting me to this interview.
Excellent. It's great to have you here. And I think it's your first Blab, isn't it? So we'll see how we get on. Excellent. So start by telling us a bit about you, your background and sort of how you got to do what you do now.
Thank you. Well, I have a very interdisciplinary background, from PhD in computer science to degrees in economics, information systems. And I always had the passion for researching people and psychology and neuroscience. And I think that has enabled me to see the bigger picture, to connect the dots and to create processes, methods and tools that are described in the Management Shift book. Some people describe me as several people in one, because I am an academic but also a consultant and executive coach, and I think that has all motivated me to do what I do, to really help people, to help organizations to shift to new ways of working and thinking and succeeding as well.
Mm-hmm. And where did the book come from? How long have you been working on it?
Well, this book is my life's work. So there is almost 20 years of research behind this book, a research and consulting experience. And some years ago, I was encouraged by John Adair to write this book to help share all this knowledge and experience, which is described in this book. And I think that this work is my life's purpose, and I'm on a mission to make this world a better place for this work. So I've been passionately promoting this work and also applying all this knowledge in practice and helping companies to become more engaging, more innovative, and also as a result to improve their profit.
Mm-hmm. So you work as a consultant and you speak as well, I believe.
Yes, I'm still an academic, but I'm also doing a lot of consulting work and a lot of keynotes to spread the word and to help people to raise this awareness that business as usual is not an option anymore. Mm-hmm. We need to change the way we are working and succeeding, and we need to shift to completely new mindset and cultures in organizations to address challenges that we are facing.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a bit more about that. So what's changed and what's changing, and why now is such an important time for this sort of topic?
Well, we are facing unprecedented challenges, from changes in globalization, technological advancement, changes in demographics of the workforce. So, for example, by 2020, a majority of workforce will be a young generation, millennials. And research shows that they ignore hierarchy, they need purpose, they need flexibility, they need feedback. And they don't want to be told what to do in a traditional sense. So we have a changing demographics, we have globalization and technological advancements completely changing the landscape of work. And at the same time, there is a research showing that, for example, only less than 20% of people are fully engaged at work globally. Only 25% of people are passionate about the work that they do. The latest research in the United States shows that only 28% of people are purposeful at work, so they feel they have a purpose at work. And in the last 50 years, a corporate life expectancy and also performance in organizations have declined by 75%. So all these statistics shows that we can't continue using traditional command and control management styles. We need to do something about that and work smarter in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody just joined the blab and actually put on the comments that they love their job. So there are some people out there who do.
Absolutely. Yes, but they're in minority. I would say 25 to 30%.
Yes, yeah. So the challenge for organisations then all comes down to the managers needing and the people in the organisations to work in a different way. What are you suggesting they need to do differently?
Well, I can answer this question maybe by explaining the five levels in the emergent leadership model. So basically, on the basis of extensive research in individual and organizational development, I developed a five-level emergent leadership model, which shows that individual mindset goes through five different stages of development, and there is a corresponding organizational culture at each of those levels.
Right.
For example, at level one, the organizational mindset is lifeless and the culture is apathetic and not much gets done. And luckily, not many organizations are there. People are too depressed or too fearful to do anything. And leadership style is very, very autocratic. And then we shift to level two. At level two, the mindset is reluctant and the culture is stagnating. And this is a space where people do minimum they can get away with. Mm-hmm. They just come to work to get a paycheck. They leave their heart and mind at home, but they bring their body to work. So they would sneak out for a workout, have long lunch breaks. They are just there to be paid, but obviously they're completely disengaged. Mm-hmm. And then we move to level three, and at level three, the mindset is controlled, and the culture culture is controlled as well, and the mindset is very orderly. So at that level, people are micromanaged. So we do what we are told to do. We tick the boxes. We achieve KPIs. Mm-hmm. We can tick along. But again, are we going to go an extra mile for a customer, feel really engaged and passionate? I wouldn't say so.
And I guess there's a number of organizations who are sort of stuck at that level who don't really realize that that's the case. And they think they're doing an okay. Well, they probably think they're doing a good job, but actually it's probably okay or maybe even mediocre, I guess.
Absolutely. This is where majority of organizations are. And this is fine if you really have to focus on compliance and safety and rules and procedures. But there is no great innovation. There's no great engagement and passion for work and all these levels. So levels 1, 2, and 3 correspond to traditional management or management 1.0. Mm-hmm. And then the big shift, the management shift, happens when a critical mass of employees shift the mindset from level 3 to level 4. The mindset becomes enthusiastic and culture collaborative. And this is where engagement goes up. This is where there is more passion for work. And some of the key words here are trust, transparency, purpose, values, giving back to the society, having fun working, taking care of the environment, self-organizing. This is a complete shift, because at this level, we view organization as a complex adaptive system, as a living organism with where people interact. Mm-hmm. Whilst at the lower levels, 1, 2, and 3, we are talking about the mechanistic management and seeing people as a cogs in the machine. So that big shift is when we shift to level 4, and then occasionally individuals and teams can tap into the energy of level 5, where mindset is limitless, culture is unbounded, and this is where anything is possible to achieve. And this is where teams that are very creative and engaged work very intensively for a certain period of time to achieve some amazing innovations, such as Google X Lab, for example, inventing driverless cars, or Google Glass, or Lockheed Martin's Skunkworks team working on supersonic jets, for example, in 1960s in the desert. So that is level 5.
Yeah.
So we need to, the big shift is from 3 to 4, from old to new management approaches, a new paradigm.
So let's just sort of dwell on that for a minute. So the organizations that we tend to think of as being that type of innovative organization, like Google, as you've mentioned, I guess in lots of cases, they start at level 4. That's where their sort of ethos comes from in the first place. They're you know, people get together and they're all enthusiastic and they're all, you know, innovative, and off they go. The issue and challenge is always being talked about, which is the organizations where they're more traditional, as you said, and they're trying to move to that level. And that, you know, all this stuff that we hear about transformation and all the digital transformation, this is where it's really tough, because you've got a big organization that actually to change is going to take a lot of, you know, quite radical sort of change. How does that play out from your perspective?
Well, it is important to be aware that every level is characterized by specific thinking patterns, actions, language used, employee behavior, leaders' behavior, and organizational outcomes. So the key for the shift is to use the language and behavior of the level above. But we cannot skip the levels as we go up the levels. So you have to go through level 2 and level 3, and then it's possible to shift to level 4, using the language and behavior of the higher level of level 4. And neuroscience shows us how, with our mirror neuron brain cells, we mimic, we absorb emotions and thoughts of people around us, and then we subconsciously emulate that. So when we have role models at the higher level, eventually we will shift our thinking subconsciously and our behavior, and then the whole culture will shift eventually of the organization. And if you have lots of organizations at level 4, then the whole society will shift as well when we achieve this critical mass.
It's interesting. I was doing some work with a client last week around sort of values and the way of working, and it was sort of middle managers, and their comment was, is anyone doing this work with the leaders? Which is exactly what you're saying, that actually if they don't have that same mindset, whatever you try at a lower level, it's not going to work, is it?
It has to start from the top, because organizational culture is a reflection of leaders' consciousness. So we need leaders at the top to have this level 4 awareness and to model this level 4 language and behavior. Then it will trickle down and spread like a ripple throughout organization. And this is what we are doing through our work as well, working with the top level of leaders, taking them through a 12-week program where they're immersed into language and behavior of level 4. And then once they're anchored subconsciously, then we can do a program to shift entire organizational culture to level 4.
So your book also talks about the 6-box leadership diagnostic tool. Tell us more about that and how that is used in practice.
The 5-level Imagine Leadership Model was the word of the management shift. It was developed some years ago, and I have been using this model for a number of years to help individual leaders and teams to shift to level 4. However, about 6 years ago, I had another epiphany, and then I realized that shifting one leader or shifting one leadership team at a time was not good enough and not fast enough for me. So I had to figure out how to help entire organization to shift to level four. So then I went back to my interdisciplinary research and I did a lot more research, and I looked into data from dozens of case studies, hundreds of interviews and thousands of references. And I created a framework with around 150 factors that drive value creation, innovation, engagement, and profit in organizations and performance. And I grouped those factors in six key areas. And this is how the six-box leadership model was created. Then I developed an online diagnostic tool, which we have been using with organizations to identify a hidden strengths and weaknesses in those six areas, which include the culture. So we can see what kind of culture organization has. Is it democratic, participative, or is it autocratic, for example? Relationships. We can see how well people work together. Are there any unproductive conflicts, for example? Is there a lot of collaboration within organization and outside organization boundaries? Then individuals box looks into individuals' mindset, skills, motivation, drive. And then strategy looks into how strategy is developed and executed. And then resources available to support people and processes, and processes which look into how the work gets done in an organization. So this is like an organizational body scan, like an MRI for company, which shows hidden strengths and weaknesses in those six areas. And this is like a temperature check. And then we move on to the next phase where we prescribe the medicine. In that phase, we worked with organization to develop a specific one-year action plan for individual and organizational action to address the strengths, leverage weaknesses. We then implement this plan and then reassess again to see how the figures are shifting and how the organization is shifting towards level four mindset and culture and the way of working.
Mm-hmm. You talked about hidden strengths and weaknesses. Tell us a bit more about why you're describing it as hidden.
It's hidden because we have a survey with 120 questions, which is sent to all employees or a representative sample of employees to express their views, how things are done in organization and what is working, what is not working. They can also write qualitative comments, which we then analyze with software as well. And through that, whatever is hidden, what people don't talk openly about organization, it's surfaced through this survey, which is completely anonymous. And then we can see for specific areas in those 120 questions, what really works well, what doesn't work well, what needs to be strengthened, what needs to be addressed to enable organization to shift to level four ways of working.
And how much of a gap is there usually between what the leaders think about how those things are going to come out and how they do come out?
That is a very interesting question, because in a number of organizations, we have split the data in different samples. So we can slice the data in any way. And in a number of organizations, we separate the data from the top level management to middle management and then operational level, everybody else in organization. And consistently, we are getting higher scores, even as 10% or more higher from the top level leadership than the scores from that we are getting from other levels. And it's interesting that the scores from the highest level are normally the highest, and then the mid-level managers somewhere in the middle, and then the lower level, the scores are quite often significantly lower. So quite often people at the top think that they know what is going on in the organization, but quite often it's not the case. And the figures show and the scores show that there are some issues that people experience at lower levels that need to be addressed. And once this is addressed, this is not just a traditional employee engagement survey where we tick the boxes and nothing gets done as a result. This is targeted for specific actions to address views from employees, and that also drives engagement, where people see that their voice is being heard and something is done as a result.
So can you give us some examples of the sorts of actions that would be taken? Because I think it's always it's challenging to hear that things aren't as you think they are as a leader. But then what's more challenging is trying to work out a new way of being, a new way of doing things to make that change. So what sort of things are you getting people to do?
I can give you various examples, and various companies have benefited in different ways. One example is a management consultancy in the United States. They wanted this project to help them to design new strategy for growth. So we did analysis and recommendations, and they implemented a number of suggestions from action planning, such as they have completely redesigned their intranet system to improve internal collaboration and communication capabilities. They have redesigned HR processes to recognize the individual and team contributions in a more open, transparent way, and so on. As a result, within 18 months, the revenue grew by 500% and they doubled in size from 9 to 18 consultants. Another example, insurance company in the City of London, they achieved a much more open and transparent culture. They started posting on internet the contents of meetings, which were probably, I would say, quite hidden and closed before we started intervention. But now the employees could see what is going on at the management meetings as well. They started contributing to charities more. They became more charitable. Again, they changed the way they use their intranet to allow more transparency, more trust to develop. And trust and transparency are the basic glues or building blocks for level four cultures.
I was going to say, do you need the managers to be really bought into doing things differently at the beginning of this for that to then work? Because some of those things are sort of, you know, investments and things where you need that commitment, and actually personally they need a massive commitment to try and do things differently.
Absolutely. You need a sponsorship from top level. You need leaders that, if they're not there at level four already, at least they're open-minded to shape themselves and to see the benefits, because there is a paradox of power, because when we let go of power, we get more power back. Because more is achieved with less effort, and organization is more productive, and people are more engaged, and everybody benefits. So definitely we need this buy-in from the top to make this work for everybody else.
Interesting. Well, that's been really interesting. And as usual, we're sort of powering through to the end. It all goes so quickly. Tell us a bit more about what you're working on currently.
I always work on a lot of projects at the same time. I think that's the way I work and I think. But the key project is my next book. So I've just finished research for my new book, where I interviewed 50 inspirational leaders about their own personal story, about the shift, how they shifted to level four, or how they helped their companies to shift, or how they helped many other companies to shift. So I'm very excited about this, because in addition to my own research, which is contained in the management shift book, I thought I really want to find out what's really going on in practice and how this shift works. So that's how I got this idea to make it a collective effort and capture this collective wisdom from these inspirational leaders. So that is my one of my current projects that I'm excited about.
And can you reveal any of who those inspirational leaders are?
Well, one of them is Paul Polman, a CEO of Unilever, and David Midler from Engage, one of the founders, co-founders of Engage for Success. Also Peter Cheese from CIPD, Anne Franke from CMI, and various leaders from all over the world, such as Vinod Nair from HCL Technologies, so Paul Judge. So a lot of exciting stories. And I have to say, I had lots of goosebumps as I was doing these interviews, where I could really hear how this works in practice and what sort of impact this new way of working has on people and organizations. Many of these leaders said, we would not be around had we not started this way of working some years ago. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, it sounds really exciting and a really useful book with all that sort of pragmatic help and advice that you get from people who've been there and done that and made it work and happen.
Absolutely. I can just share one little snippet. That one of the questions is, what is the price of the shift? What is the value of the shift? And some people tried to give me some formula and some monetary values, but some people said, there is no price for magic.
I like that. And you know what? That's a really good link into next week's show. So I'll say thank you, Vletka, very much for coming on to the show today and trying out this new technology as well. Hopefully you could just about hear me. You answered the questions right, so.
Thank you.
You could hear them. So next week on the show, Jo's going to be interviewing Maggie Pavlou from PeopleGauge. And she says employee engagement is not a dark art, but if you get it right, it works like magic. How perfect was that? especially where recognition is concerned. So Jo and Maggie will be discussing all manners of recognition, from innovative recognition cafes, how to use a genuine thank you, effective formal recognition programs, and how it all links into Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And the following week, you're invited to our live radio show with Christmas singing. So it's in London at the prestigious St. Martin in the Fields in their rehearsal space. And we've got space for up to 40 people. So anyone listening, if you're in London on the 14th of December in the afternoon and you fancy coming along for some Christmas cheer and to contribute to the show, then go to efschristmasshow.eventbrite.co.uk and you can book in to join us. So we've got the core team and as many other people as we can gather up within the movement coming along to do a spot of Christmas singing on the radio show. Fancy it? So thank you, everybody. Thanks again to Professor Vletka. Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye for now.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.